Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
One godly man or woman can make a dramatic difference, even in the darkest of circumstances. You may be the only Christian in your family, at the workplace, or in your neighborhood, but God has placed you there for a reason, and it's His desire that you use your influence to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series entitled Difference Makers, we will discover what it takes to spiritually impact those around us. Today, we are studying the passion of Nehemiah and how God used him to unite the people of his generation. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
The Bible gives an order. This does not mean that a husband is to be some kind of a militant dictator, unkind in every way. It means, however, that he is to provide leadership and direction. And by the way, if you are married to a man who is in church today, though you could list his many faults, thank God he's here and not down at Joe's bar. He's trying to provide some order. You say, well, Pastor, I had to drag him in by the back of his neck. Well, good job for you then. You did a good job. But the order is supposed to be the husband leading the family in and the wife supporting the husband in this matter. Now, you can forget God's order and you can fight every day to see who's going to be first in this pecking order. You can fight about whether to go to McDonald's or Taco Bell. You can fight about how come a bill was so high or how come we bought another one of these items. You can fight and fight and fight. And when you do, it brings insecurity in the heart of a child. But when they sense an order and when they sense a respect from their authority, it brings security. The fourth wall is the wall of respect. And we have respect in our homes through standards or through following the commandments of God. Now, not every family has the same exact standards or convictions. Many are still growing in their understanding of convictions, and many are still on a journey to understand, what about this TV show, or what about this or that, or what do I involve myself in? And the message today is not about standards, but it is to simply say, every home must have some standards. Because standards bring respect into the hearts of children. Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. William Penn said, I was brought up on the knee of a godly mother and over the knee of a godly father. How many of you can relate to that? Now, God says, Dad, I want you to establish in the home some standards, some guidelines. What will be watched on television, what will be listened to, and what will teenagers wear, and what time will they come in, and how will they address other adults in their life, and will they be allowed to go to the mall with their underwear up here and their pants and trousers way down here? Obviously, a lot of parents have not been making that decision lately. But you, ladies and gentlemen, who know the Lord, are challenged to provide in the family these types of standards or set of guidelines for your family. That is your responsibility. And God takes it very seriously. We find in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, this man Levi, the priest, and we will not have time to develop it fully, but God says in this verse in the notes that his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. God said when Levi's sons were living an abominable lifestyle and Levi did nothing about it, God was displeased with that. And my friend, it ought to stir us up when our families are not living for God, when our children are not living right. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Now, They may not act like they want it, but they will never respect a permissive parent. They will respect a parent who sets down the guidelines in the home. And then the fourth wall is the wall of faith through the Word of God. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now, we must have these walls in order to alleviate the fear and insecurity that comes into the hearts of children. And so we see in the first place, Nehemiah had problems at home, at Jerusalem. The walls had come down. And many families this morning, the walls of love and standards and respect and order have been crumbling and and need to be repaired. Now, what did Nehemiah do? He did several things, but the first thing he does, I want you to notice here, is his prayer for help. When Nehemiah heard about what was going on at home, the first thing he did was pray. And I want you to see his prayer very quickly with me this morning, beginning in verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Notice his prayer began with a burden. It began with a burden. I think this week, through the offering plate, the little notices that are turned in, and via email, I think I would be safe to say that I've received at least 30 prayer requests this week from members of our church, ranging from cancer to unemployment to wayward children and everything in between. And I do pray for those requests. Now, as I receive those requests, it is interesting to note that oftentimes when a burden comes into our life, we are more serious about prayer and we come to God in a serious manner. And it is tragic to me when a man can lose something precious to him, whether a job, a family member, or health, and not sense the need to pray. And sometimes I feel as though American Christians have had Novocaine put into their spiritual heart so that they can see their whole country going to hell in a handbasket, their whole neighborhood following after the things that are ungodly, and their own family members never coming to church, never reading the Bible. And it seems as though we do not even feel what's happening in our country. And I believe it's time to say, Lord, help me to feel once again. And Nehemiah felt a burden, and his prayer began with a burden, and he prayed and he fasted. And fasting means that he said, God, more than I want a Big Mac, I want your power. And he fasted. And then his prayer burned with compassion in verse number 6. He was praying for the children of Israel compassionately. John Bunyan said, it is in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. And then his prayer was built on confession. I'm going to tell you, if you have a child that's sick, if you have a need financially, you're not going to try to play games with God. If there's sin in your life, you're going to repent of that sin, right? Notice what it says here in verse number 6, the second half. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Would you say that last phrase with me? Both I and my father's house. Say it again. Both I and my father's. Now, it would have been easy to say, my father's house has really sinned. My uncle Joe's a bad sinner. My brother's an alcoholic. My sister's a drug addict. I mean, it's easy to confess everybody else's sins. But if you really want God to answer your prayer, you better start confessing your sin. And Nehemiah said, the walls are torn down, and I'm burdened about this. And God, I need your help. And God, I confess my sin. Mommies and daddies need to be willing to confess their sin, and children their sin. And the Bible still says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Look at, God's not some elderly man with a beard on a rocking chair up in heaven who can't see your sin. And if you've been living in sin this morning, you ought to come, if you're saved, and turn away from that and get right with God and get back to the house of God. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to come today and let Jesus forgive you for your sin and save your soul for all of eternity. But then I want you to see next, his prayer was based on the Bible. Now, notice this very carefully. In verse number 8, look at what Nehemiah says to God. Remember. Would you say that word with me, please? Remember. One more time. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Now look right up here. How many of you understand that has already happened? Remember the map I showed you. From Jerusalem to Babylon, 700 miles, because they transgressed, boom, they were gone. Now, verse 9, but if you turn unto me, that's repentance. That's getting right with God. If you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the innermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. It basically goes like this. Nehemiah says, God, you said that if we're bad, you're going to ship us out to Babylon. But if we would get right, you'd bring us home. God, you said that. How many of you who are parents now or have already raised your families ever said something to your kids, maybe something like this? Maybe in the month of April you said to your kids, sometime this summer we're going to go to a Dodgers game. Now, maybe just in passing. Now, maybe it was going to McDonald's, but sometime this summer we're going to go to a Dodgers game. So in the month of May they say, Dad, you said we're going to go to a Dodgers game. Dad, when are we going? And you're busy and you don't have the money and you don't have the time. And the month of June, Dad, you said we're going to a Dodgers game. Dad, the Dodgers are playing the Reds. Dad, the Dodgers are in first place. And in the month of July, Dad, you said we'd go to the Dodgers game. It's Mannywood night. We need to go see all of his long hair. Now, that's one reason not to go to the Dodgers game. I grant you that. Dad, you said. You know what they're doing? They're reminding you of what you said. And if you're like me, sometime between June and the end of August, you're going to keep your word, Dad. Kind of getting quieter on here. Some of the kids are doing this to their dads right now. That's what Nehemiah is saying. Father, I know we did wrong, but you said if we would repent, you'd let us come home. That's what repentance is. And we need some moms and dads today who would say, Dad, Father, I know I've done wrong, but I want to come home now. And that was Nehemiah's prayer. He said, Lord, I know the walls have fallen down, but I want to come home. I want you to help our city of Jerusalem with the walls. Now then, thirdly, if anything this morning has attached to your attention, then I want to give you, as I close, a process for recovery. Some of you say, Pastor, the walls of our home have been a little creaky lately. The love, the respect has not been what it should. We have some stress fractures in our marriage, and the devil's kicking those stress fractures because he wants them to become a big hole so that he can push the whole marriage down. If any of you in your marriage or in your child raising have experienced the devil coming against your walls of your family, I want to give you this morning a process for recovery. How do we strengthen the things that remain? How do we strengthen the walls of our home? And I want to give you these six steps, and I want you to think about it, and we'll be done. First, you must view the need of your family. You must take an honest assessment of where you are spiritually as a family. Notice chapter 2, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. Notice that. He viewed the walls of Jerusalem. Now there's a beautiful verse in Lamentations 3 and verse number 51 that says, mine eye hath affected mine heart. That's one reason I like to encourage people to see the mission field. I like to encourage our young people and sometimes our members, if they can, hey, you ought to go down to El Salvador and see our missionaries. Go to the Philippines and see our missionaries and see these places. Why? Because our eye affects our heart. And when you see people living in their thatched roof houses and you realize the lack of gospel witness, if you have any kind of a heart at all, it affects your heart, you see. You see it and it touches your heart. Sometimes to know where your family is, you need to spend a little time with your family. Take your teenage daughter out for lunch and talk to her. Take your 7-year-old daughter, your 8-year-old son, and throw a ball with them and spend time with them and see how they're doing. And when your wife says, I'm worried about our son, I'm worried about our daughter, whatever the case is, instead of acting like it's not a problem, take time to view and consider the needs of your family. Listen to your spouse when they're sharing those needs with you. Say, oh, my wife, she just worries all the time. Well, thank God somebody thinks about these things. I mean, if you wait until you go out to lunch and you sit across from your teenage daughter and she has dyed her hair black, she has piercings through her cheeks and her lips and her tongue, and she looks at you and says, what do you want, old man? You might have waited too long. You need to view the needs of your children. Number two, be honest about your condition. Be honest. Look what Nehemiah says in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. I mean, Nehemiah doesn't try to covercoat this. He goes, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We are in distress here. Now, you need to be honest today. Dads, listen. What is your condition of your relationship with God? Are you this very moment, are you saved and on your way to heaven? Do you know that you've been born again? I don't care how many verses your children know. I want to ask you this morning, as we are honest in our evaluation, are you saved? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? The Bible says, and that from a child Timothy knew the Scriptures, and they made him wise unto salvation, and that by faith he heard the Word of God, and he was saved. What is the condition of your relationship with God? Be honest about that. Nehemiah didn't say, yeah, we got a few problems here. Nehemiah knew they had a real problem. What is the condition of your marriage? Be honest about that. What is the condition of your family? Be honest today. Don't be too busy working not to notice. 1 Samuel 15:23, the Lord told Saul that rebellion was as the sin of witchcraft. If our children, if we have rebellion, it's as what kind of sin? I don't want that in my family. Most of you don't let your kids play with games that are demonically inspired, you know, demons fighting demons. And most of you don't have Ouija boards and eight balls in your home. Most of you don't want demonic presence in your home. But when there's a rebellious heart in that home, it's like witchcraft. And that's a problem. And it needs to be dealt with. How are things with your children? And so many times, parents are blind to these issues. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled and done family counseling, and I've dealt with a young teenage girl who's struggled with some kind of internet situation, maybe MySpace, and it led to some kind of activity, even sometimes with married men and immorality and difficulty of the worst sort. And young men toking their marijuana and involved in pornography and difficulty and sin of the worst sort. And I've had parents, after the kids walk out of my office, say, you know, Pastor, they really are good kids. Now, I understand that. We always need to see the good and hope for the good. But we also, if we're going to fix problems, have to be honest when there's a problem. And we have to view the need exactly the way it is. Now, listen very carefully. Applaud your child's academics and applaud your child's athletics. But more than all of that is your child's heart. And when there is rebellion and sin and a lack of interest in the Bible and a lack of interest in church, stop saying everything's okay and be concerned about the spiritual need of your family. View the need. I'm trying to give you six steps for recovery. View the need. Be honest about the condition. Letter C, express your vision. Fathers, listen to me now. Look at verse 17. The latter part of the verse, Nehemiah says, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah gathered the men together and said, let's rise up and build. Now, what would happen in America? What would happen in this single church if every father would gather the wife and the children together and say, look, I know things haven't been perfect. I know there's some stress fractures in our family. I know I haven't been always the best dad. But now, I want to express to you my heart is that we would have a godly family. Amen. And I want us to pray and work together to that end. Let's go to church tonight. Pastor doesn't preach the same sermon on Sunday night. Let's go to the missionary conference. Let's pray for our meals at the restaurant. Let's say nice things to each other. Come on, dads. Nehemiah got a vision for his family, and he was bold enough to express that vision. You see, Joshua said it in Joshua 24, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You say, "Well, I don't want to get all that, you know, committed." Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get all that committed and go somewhere, or you're going to straddle the fence and someday wonder what happened to your family. I'll tell you what happened. They were waiting for a dad to be a man of God. They were waiting for a father to say, "Let's strengthen the walls of this family." All the while I'm preaching right now, the devil's trying to tear the wall of your family down. There needs to be a dad step in and say, "No. Amen. We're going to keep our family strong." Now, once you express your vision, step four, letter D, is that you refuse to doubt God. You refuse to doubt God. Notice what happens here in Nehemiah's life in verse 19. He says, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us." Verse 20, "Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." Now watch this. Gentlemen, if you say, "I'm going to rebuild my family, I'm going to love my wife as never before." Wives, if you say, "I'm going to be a godly, supportive wife." Teenagers, if you say, "I'm going to obey my parents." Watch this. Someone's going to go, "Ha, ha, ha. Look at the guy. Why, what kind of a wimp is he anyways? He could have had some overtime, but he went to church. Ha, ha. Why, she just does whatever her husband says. Why, that teenage girl won't even try alcohol. Ha, ha. When you get criticized, refuse to doubt God. Amen. Just determine to live for God. By the way, if you're one thing in this church and you have your kids in this Christian school and you're one thing on the outside and a totally different thing at home, you will reap what you are sowing at home. I'm not preaching to you this morning about the school or the church. I'm preaching about where you live. That's right. And where you live is where it needs to begin. Amen. You see. Refuse to doubt God. Letter E, place your confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 20. "I answered them and said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." Now, there will be those who say, "You can't have a strong Christian family in 2009. You know what? With God, all things are possible. Amen. And then I want to tell you this, finally, letter F. You still with me? Amen. Letter F, stay with the work. When you have a setback, look it, maybe your kid comes home and they got an F in school, or they skipped school, or your husband got mad, or your wife spent too much, or whatever. You know, all these things you're trying to do better on, and you have a bad day. Listen right here. Don't quit. Don't quit. My wife and I, nearly 29 years ago, said, we will never use the word divorce in our home. No matter how frustrated we might get, we're not going to pull that one out. I get everybody in America, "I'm going to tell my attorney." You don't even have an attorney. Why don't you talk to God about it? Amen. Stay with the work. Look what Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 says. "So built we the wall." And all the walls joined together. By the way, I wish I had more time. You know they built that wall in 52 days. Isn't that sick? We can't even get a permit in 52 days. They built that wall in 52 days. But you know what they did? They stayed with the work, and they stayed with the work, and they stayed with the work, and they wouldn't stop working. Even when criticism came, they wouldn't stop working. Amen. And there might be a husband or a wife today that needs to do some rebuilding yourself. And you may need to go to your family and say, "I've been wrong, and I repent, and I want to rebuild our family, and I want to keep the walls from caving in." There might be someone that would say, "I'm not going to let our family be known as ground zero. I want it to be a monument to the glory of God." Amen. But that all depends on your pride, sir. That's right. You're going to stay there with your excuses for why you can't get committed? With your hard attitude, and I don't care what profession you're in. You could be a pastor, a policeman, a doctor, a nurse. You can be anybody or anything and still need to get your heart right with God right now this morning. Are you going to humble yourself and say, "You know what? My family's got some cracks in the wall. There needs to be the love and respect the standards that Pastor preached about. My family needs that today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.